Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 17, verse 79 through 88. The story of Nimai's magic mangoes. So let's begin. Egdeen Prabhu Sabha Bhaktaganalan Sankirtan Kali Vaise Shrama Yuktahan. So as often happens, when there's vigorous Sankirtan performed, then devotees become somewhat tired, fatigued. Not mentally, and not spiritually, but maybe their legs get sore, arms get tired, hands don't work so well. One day, Mahaprabhu performed Sankirtan with all his devotees, and when they were greatly tired and fatigued, they sat down. Eka Amra Bija Prabhu Angane Ropila Tachane Janmila Briksha Badite Lagila. Mahaprabhu planted a seed of the mango in the yard, in the ground, and immediately the seed burst into a big tree and began to grow. This is like magic. So, this is the original Jack and the Beanstalk story. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this mango seed and stuck it in the ground. And then bingo, there's a big mango tree there. So the Lord is so kind that he doesn't want the devotees to be in parishram. Right? Shrama yukta. Shrama yukta. Feeling fatigued. The Lord always makes some personal arrangement to relieve his devotees. For example, in a family situation, if the husband comes home and he's very tired from traveling and selling his goods, then when he comes home, the wife may greet him with some kind, sweet words, obviously, but then some refreshing drink, nice fresh sherbet or some drink, and then maybe she'll wash his feet with some cold water. I mean, this is like old style. I mean, extremely old. Don't get carried away, of course. Any husbands out there, it's not about to happen, but maybe in the distant past of many thousands of years ago, in the previous dynasties of ladies and wives, it would happen. So then in this way, by washing his feet and getting a cooling, refreshing drink, he would feel relieved and somewhat, and then he would have a nice meal and all these things. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the most personal personality in the entire universe. He cares so much. Lord Chaitanya is the caring Lord. C for Chaitanya, C for caring. Because he cares so much. He cares about the Chaitanya. It's very interesting. He's the Lord of caring. And when you care for someone, you care for their life, isn't it? You take care of their life. Caring. So Chaitanya means life, Chaitana, the life force, the energy, the consciousness, the life, Chaitana. So Lord Chaitanya is the Lord that cares for the devotees. And Ramachandra, he's establishing order and rules and regulations and social order and setting up the government in a religious way. And Krishna is engaged in Leela. Everyone can watch his Leela. But you hear stories about Krishna serving out the devotees? Krishna's ekdam bilkul enjoyer. He's only enjoying. He's taking service from everyone and anyone and anybody at any time, every time, all times. I mean, of course, as you read more esoteric shastras, you hear how he serves Radharani. At least somebody, well, one person he'll serve. And Sevakun, she'll brush her hair and pick flowers and makes, sometimes he strings a flower garland for Radharani. He picks some fruits and he cuts some fruits and offers Radharani a plate of fruits. And he takes sweets directly from his own plate and puts them in Radharani's mouth. So in this way he does serve. But Lord Chaitanya, so many innumerable incidences where Lord Chaitanya is personally serving his devotees. And it all began right after his initiation from Ishwar Puri. This is the whole idea, that initiation by the Guru in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya means to begin a life of service. This is initiation. Initiation means begin a life of service. Because what does the Guru place in the heart? The Guru places in the heart the tendency, the desire, and the form and the energy of seva. The tendency to serve, the desire to serve, the energy to serve, and the form of seva. This is given at Diksha by the Guru. Bhakti Lata Beach. The Guru gives a Bhakti Lata Beach. Bhakti Lata Beach is what I just said. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he received initiation from Ishwar Puri, these four attributes manifested in his otherwise arrogant and proud heart. Because Nimai Pandit was not one to serve anyone. Nimai Pandit was the proud child genius, the boy scholar, who would argue with everyone and fight everyone in philosophy, in Naya, in logic, in Vyakaran, in grammar, in Itihas, in Sahitya, in literature, everything he would fight and defeat one by one, then jump in the Ganges and laugh and laugh and swim away laughing. Do you read anything about Nimai Pandit humbly serving anyone? No. His mother is going out to do Shasti Puja, who is a goddess of children, or actually, yeah, Shasti, goddess Shasti. She helps children be healthy. And Mother Shachi has a basket full of bananas, a tiffin full of bananas in Sandesh, and puja paraphernalia. And she's going to serve this goddess and pray to this goddess for the health of Nimai. And Nimai accosts his mother on the footpath and says, "Where are you going? What's in this tiffin? Oh, this is all nice nirmalya. This is all naivedyam. Naivedyam. This is nice sweetmeats and fresh bananas and other puja paraphernalia to worship Goddess Shasti." And Lord Chaitanya, or Nimai Pandit, said, "Wait a minute, forget it. Sandesh? Bananas? My mouth is watering. And actually, I feel very, very hungry. I've been playing so much along the Ganges and all my friends and my mother, I'm really hungry. You please give me all this sandesh and bananas." And she said, "No, Mao Lala, listen, Sachidulal. Sachidulal, all of these things are for Shasti. I'm going to do puja. Why are you interrupting my dharmic practices? This is dharma I'm trying to do, and it's for your benefit." He said, "Anyway, I don't know about that, but I'm hungry. Give me all these things." So he started reaching his hand in the tiffin, eating everything. So Nimai was a big enjoyer, and he would argue. But when, after initiation, as soon as Vishwambar Gaurahari came back from Gaya and he was initiated, then he became transformed. His heart became filled with seva bhav, the desire to serve, the energy to serve, the form of service. It all manifests in his heart by the mercy of his guru. And he started, when he came back, the first thing he did, he started washing the clothes and dhotis of the devotees and the Ganges. Then he would fold them and carry them. Then he would carry the puja baskets. If they were going from temple to temple to worship, he would say, "Let me carry your puja basket." And he just, everywhere, at every turn, he was doing seva. He went to Panihati, then he would serve out the prasadam with his own hand to the devotees. This is the mood, the service. So here the devotees have engaged in Sankirtan. So Mahaprabhu, he's such a kind Lord. He's really the epitome of Bhaktivatsala. This Lord, Krishna, he has this very special attribute. Of course, Vishnu Tattva, there's oneness in Tattva. But the expression of that Tattva varies in terms of Ras, which means reciprocation. Rasa is experience in relation with people, sambandha. So in terms of rasa, there's a vast difference between Vishnu and Ram, and especially Ram and Vishnu and all other Vishnu forms and Krishna. Krishna is known as Bhaktivatsal. He's affectionate to his devotees in a big way. But the Parama Bhaktivatsal is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He is so affectionate. So here the devotees chanted and danced. They felt fatigued. And he took his mystic power, put a mango seed in the ground. Boom! Let me serve my devotees. Let me show my affection for my devotees. When he came to visit Haridas Thakur at Siddhabokul, there were no trees there. It was just some bagicha. There were some flowers there. It was a garden. It was Kashi Mishra's private garden near his house. And he was collecting flowers there to offer to Jagannath. But there were no trees there, just latas and all these things. So then Mahaprabhu, he took a toothpick from the Lord. He took Jagannath's toothpick. And he went to Siddhabokul and he said, "Oh, Haridas," because he had it in his mouth. Maybe he's chewing on his toothpick. When he got to Siddhabokul, then he saw Haridas, you're sitting in this garden chanting but in front of Tulsi, but you're perspiring, there's no shade here, you're feeling shrama, you're feeling fatigue and some difficulty. So don't no mind, watch this. Takes a toothpick, boink, puts the toothpick in the ground, fatafat briksha. Pear, you say pear. Within a minute, there was a beautiful, luxuriant, verdant bakul tree there. Because that toothpick was made from bakul wood. Jagannath's toothpick was made from bakul wood because bakul wood is very fragrant. The wood of the bakul tree, it smells like bakul flowers. It's very fragrant. So to chew on that toothpick is nice. Nice toothpick. So Jagannath has a very fragrant toothpick, not just some pine tree chopped into pieces. When you buy toothpicks in the West, you get some pine tree that they chop in little pieces, make a toothpick. There's no taste, unless they flavor it. Sometimes they flavor it with peppermint or something. But on its own, it has no inherent taste. But a bakul toothpick is very fragrant. So maybe someday we'll get the Mahaprasad toothpick of Jagannath and we can prove our findings. But it's a fact. So now, Dekiti Dekiti Briksha Haila Falita Pakila Anika Fal Sabe Vismita. As the devotees looked on, the tree became fully grown with fruits. Within a few seconds, that tree from the mango seed became a tree full of mangoes. And they're all ripe. Everyone was sub-vismita. Everyone was completely amazed, struck with wonder. Can you imagine? Now try to be there if you can transport yourself. Now we're in Mayapur. There's a place called, that you visit when you're doing Navadvip Mandal Prikrama. It's called Amgat. You ever remember that place? Anyone's been on Navadvip? It's a place called Amgat. And we go there, and maybe there's some mango trees, I can't remember. But the railroad stop is there, and they say this is the place where Lord Chaitanya did this Leela. So this is the place. So they were doing Nam Sankirtan in Navadvip, in this place, Navadvip Mandal. And Lord Chaitanya planted the mango tree seed and made a beautiful tree. So imagine you're there with the devotees watching. The Lord puts the seed in the ground. Huh, what is this? Savvismita, so much wonder. You'll be struck with wonder. Oh, this is amazing. This is a miracle. It's inconceivable. Shatadui fala prabhu shigra padaila prakshalana Kari Krishna Bogala Gaila. Mahaprabhu immediately picked 200 fruits and washed them and then offered them to Krishna to eat. Now just see. I mean, Lord Chaitanya, he could have said, "Listen, guys, I planted this seed. Now the mangoes are there. Help yourself." right? Like you bring out some Mahaprasadam. Sometimes the devotees say, bring out Mahaprasadam. They say, here, help yourself. What do you want? They don't serve it. They say, look, here, it's here. Take what you want. It goes like this. So Lord Chaitanya, he plants the tree, the fruits appear, and then he picks 200 fruits, because there were 200 devotees in the Sankirtan party. Then he washed them and offered them to Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya is a Brahmin, he's a pundit. So Brahmins know how to do puja, because at the age of 12 they're initiated, Upanayanam Samskara. And then they start doing puja. They make bhog offerings, they offer artik and do shringar to their Kula Devata, Gar Thakur. So Nimai Pandit was well aware that when you make an offering to the Lord, you just put two pieces of sandesh or two pieces of this or that. And if it's some fruits, then you make a small bowl and you offer a small bowl of a dona, a katori of mango. You don't put 200 mangoes on the offering plate. Is it? It's not possible. We don't do that. So why did he pick 200 mangoes? He picked 200 mangoes because there were 200 devotees. One mango per devotee. Now, this is the love and the care of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, what kind of fruits did Lord Chaitanya produce? It's a special variety of mango. We have Alfonso mango, and we have Dusera mango, and what are some other names? Langra or something? Lengra? Langra mango? And oh, so many mangoes. But these were Gauranga mangoes. So Gauranga mangoes are something extraordinary. So what did they look like? Rakta pita varna nahi ashti valkal eka janera peta bari kaila eka fal. These Gauranga mangoes that were planted 500 years ago was a new species. It was a hybrid species of mango. It was imported directly from the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, there's no difficulty. There's no problem. India says no problem, but it's a joke. So, but in the spiritual world, there's no problem. What's the biggest problem with the mango? There's two big problems with the mango. There's actually three problems with the mango. One is, it has a skin. That's a problem. The second problem with the mango is it has a seed, a pit. And the third problem with a mango is one mango does not fill up your belly. These are three basic problems, inherent defects in a Alfonso mango or a Dusera mango or any Indian mango. But the Gauranga mangoes that were produced by Lord Chaitanya, what were they? Rakta Pita Varna Nahi Ashti Vakal. These fruits were red and yellow, and there was no seed inside and no skin outside. And one fruit, ek janera peta, it says, ek janera pet bare, right? Pet bare means pet bolo. Radha Govinda bhaje, pet bolo anande. So when your stomach is full, then you can worship Radha Govinda. So one of Gauranga's mangoes had no skin, no seed, and one mango could totally fill the belly of any man. So he picked 200 mangoes in the tree because there were 200 devotees in the Sankirtan party, and he gave one mango to each devotee, and each devotee ate the mango and became totally blissful. These celestial, transcendental, spiritual mangoes. Can you taste it? Can you see it? Can you smell it? Can you touch it? Well, let's put it this way. I really would like to. Isn't it? So now it goes on. Of course, why were Lord Gauranga's mangoes red and yellow? Because anyone who is a connoisseur of mangoes knows that in the subcontinent of India, which has about 100 different types of mangoes being grown here, the best type of mangoes are those mangoes which are red and yellow in color. But this is not the skin. This is the fruits. Remember that. There are some mangoes in India which have reddish skin. Have you seen? Reddish and yellow. but they're sour. They're not that sweet. But this, the pulp, the inside, the fruit, because there was no skin, the fruit was red and yellow. So the deeper, darker color of the fruit, the more sweet it is. So Lord Gauranga's mangoes were the best possible, the best imaginable mangoes you could imagine. No defects, no defect of skin, no defect of seed, and no defect of insufficiency. Because if you eat one, I can challenge anyone. Can you eat one Indian mango and be satisfied? N-O. Takes about six. Depends on how. If you're Russian, it takes about 6 or 10 mangoes, and then you'll be happy. But Gauranga mango, you eat one, and you can't budge, you can't move, you can't even waddle. You can't walk away because you're totally full. Dekhiya santushta haila shachira nandan sabake kao ya jala age kariya bakshan. Seeing the quality of the mangoes, Sachinandan was very, very santushta, completely satisfied. He felt within himself, he said, you know, I've done a really good job. I grew some really good mangoes. I'm very satisfied with my production. In other words, was he satisfied? Now you have to think about this. Was he satisfied with this tree, this mango tree, this transcendental mango tree that he planted in Amgat in Mayapur Navadvip? No, he was satisfied that I've made an arrangement. It says santushta. Santushta, Dekhiya Santushta. This means sama, means samatoshan. Samatoshan means he was completely, absolutely satisfied. His mind was satisfied, his senses were satisfied, his heart was satisfied. Why? Because he saw that he made an arrangement to please the devotees of the Lord. He had just made a perfect arrangement to please the Lord's devotees, 200 Sankirtan devotees. 200 Sankirtan devotees who were chanting and dancing with him for hours in the bliss of Sankirtan. And they were tired and they were hungry. So Gauranga said, I want to please these devotees. I want to make them satisfied. I want to fill them up with prasadam. I want them to be happy. So let me make an arrangement to make the devotees satisfied and happy. This is the heart of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching, this is the devotional heart. We are aspiring to become Gauranga Bhaktas and Radha Krishna Bhaktas. We are aspiring to have the heart of a devotee. So Mahaprabhu is revealing, this is the heart of a devotee. The heart of a devotee, he's thinking in his mind, how can I make some arrangement to satisfy the Vaishnavas? How can I make some appropriate arrangement at the moment, at the time? Whatever is required to satisfy the devotees now, let me do it in a grand way. So what could be grander? What could be a more perfect arrangement to satisfy the Sankirtan devotees who were hungry, and they were thirsty, and they were tired from hours and hours of chanting and dancing? Could you imagine a better refreshment than a mango? A nice, delicious, sweet, juicy mango? And such a big fat mango. The mango is like a football. It would just fill you to the neck. And you would say, Gaur Hari Bol. After you eat one of those mangoes, all you could say is, you could have no room to speak, you say, Gaur Hari Bol. Because you're stuffed. So this is the heart of the devotee, how to make arrangements to please the devotees. So he was satisfied. He says, Dekhiya Santushta. Ah, look at the arrangement I made. Mahaprabhu's thinking, look at the arrangement I made to satisfy all the devotees. So I'm satisfied. If you're satisfied, I'm satisfied. My pleasure is in seeing you happy. Isn't it? Radharani is a perfection of this mentality. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu is revealing the mentality of Radharani in his Leela. by his actions, by his lila. He's saying, this is Radharani chinta. This is Radharani thinking. This is Radharani acting. Radharani is praying, oh, my dear Lord Krishna, if you find happiness, if you find pleasure or happiness and make me distressed and breaking my heart or running with some other gopi or standing me up or doing anything, wonderful, great, I love it. If you find happiness in making me unhappy and breaking my heart and giving me distress, then I consider that that unhappiness and that distress is the very source of my bliss. It's the very source of my joy. You be happy and make me sad. You be blissful and satisfied and break my heart and fill me from full of lamentation. I don't care anything about myself. I care everything about you. This is Radharani's mentality. And this is the perfectional form of devotion. And this, in drops or sprinkles, this type of mentality should come in the heart of every devotee. That I don't care about my own happiness. I don't care about my own satisfaction. But I care everything about the satisfaction and happiness of the devotees. This is Radha Bhav. This is Gopi Bhav. And we see, we have seen, and we have met, and we have served side by side, shoulder to shoulder, with such devotees. Because we had the opportunity to serve with Jayananda Das. Jayananda Prabhu Ki Jai. He's a liberated soul. Prabhupada wrote one letter about one devotee to certify that my disciple is liberated. Prabhupada had 4,800 disciples, something like this, the exact count. Little less than 5,000. And after the disappearance of Jayananda, then Prabhupada wrote a letter. I am so happy to have had such a nice disciple as Jayananda. He has perfected his life and gone back to Vaikuntha. So now I want all my temples all around the world to honor this Vaishnava, just like we honor the great Vaishnavas Rupa Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. A day should be set aside every year in all the temples to celebrate the Tirobhav or disappearance of Jayananda Prabhu. That's the first order of Prabhupada. And the second order was, wherever and whenever there is a Rathiyatra, Jagannath Rathiyatra, I want the picture of my perfected Siddha Shishya. I want the photograph of my perfected Siddha Shishya to be placed in front of Jagannath's cart so that the world can see, yes, this is a pure... Who is this on this cart with this strange black idol? Who is this man here, this Western person with white skin? He's riding on the cart with this black voodoo doll or this idol, because people don't know. They don't know this is the Lord of the universe, this is Jagannath. They see the Murti of Jagannath, the stranger in Moscow, and says, what the hell is that? This is some kind of statue, some kind of voodoo doll, some kind of idol, icon. It's a natural response. But they can see the photograph and say, who's that? That's a human being. I know that that's a human being in that photograph. I don't know what this black thing is, but that's a picture of a human being. Who is that guy? Oh, you don't know, that's Jayananda. He's all victorious and blissful because he's attained Lord Jagannath in the spiritual world. He's, by the mercy of Prabhupada, he became a Siddha Shishya, a perfect devotee. So this is the commemoration or the canonization of Jayananda as a saint, the ISKCON saint. And Prabhupada didn't write a letter about a second devotee. Many devotees died during Prabhupada's time. Where they went, I don't know. But Prabhupada didn't make any special notice. And so now in our Rathiyatra in Bombay, and I don't know about Delhi, but Bombay, you always see this big photograph of Jayananda on Jagannath's cart, following the order of Srila Prabhupada. It's in the letters. You can see this in the Prabhupada's letters. It's not something I'm making up. You look in Prabhupada's letters, everyone has the letters and folio, you can see. Honor his disappearance with a yearly function, Utsav, in all the temples. Put his picture in front of all the Rathiyatra carts, Jagannath's cart, every time, everywhere. And he went to Vaikuntha. This is in the letter. Have you seen? It's there. Jayananda Prabhu Ki. So this is the Lord is satisfying his devotees. So when I had the opportunity to associate with Jayananda, I saw a devotee that was absorbed in Gopi Bhav. He was really in Gopi Bhav, in the true sense of the word. Because every moment he was thinking how to please and satisfy the devotees. And he was always making arrangements for food and bedding and sleeping and kirtan and preaching and helping and guiding and festivals and driving and cooking. I saw him cooking for the Sankirtan devotees. I saw him driving the van in Las Vegas. And then he dropped all the devotees off at the street lights. Then he got out of the van in 1976, even though he had leukemia, blood cancer. Got out of the van, was not diagnosed, but he had it. But he was feeling very weak, but he didn't tell anyone. Didn't get any testing. He got out of the van, and he stood at the traffic light, and the temperature was 55 degrees centigrade. And then that's the air temperature. Then he was standing at a traffic light next to cars. You imagine how hot an automobile is in the summer in Las Vegas? How much heat is being emanated from the engine? You can cook a chapati on the hood of the car. You know, the hood of the car, you can cook a chapati. So hot. So he was there distributing Prabhupada's books. And then he would put a full day in, then he'd get in a van, go around and pick up all the devotees, come back to the preaching center, then cook their dinner. A nice dinner, halava and garanga potatoes and buttermilk nectar drink, big feast. And everyone was so pleased. I had the opportunity to serve and speak and be with this. For 1 month, I lived in San Francisco at the Rath Yatra site in 1975 as a bhakta. Every day, serving with him, going in the red truck here and there, everywhere. So I saw, it didn't have much effect on me because I was so contaminated and fallen and egoistic and unsubmissive. But at least I saw with my eyes, I saw yes. I didn't know, I didn't understand at that time. But later I understood that this is the heart of a pure devotee. This is the action of a pure devotee. And this Leela Mahaprabhu, he's showing this is the devotee heart, the devotional heart. Make the devotees happy. Seeing the quality of the mangoes, Mahaprabhu was greatly satisfied, and thus after eating first, he fed all the other devotees. Oh, why did he eat first? He made all these nice mangoes. Oh, you said he wants to satisfy the other devotees. Well, it sounds like he's lusty. It sounds like he's greedy. He ate the first mango. Can you imagine, an Indian wife, she cooks a bunch of food and she offers it to Thakur. Then she comes out and says, oh, before I offer the food to my husband, let me eat some. She doesn't do like that. First she feeds the husband. So why did Lord Chaitanya eat the first mango? And Lord Chaitanya ate the first mango because he wanted to distribute Maha Prasad to all the devotees. Hari Bol, Maha Prasad Ki. This is Mahaprabhu. So this is Mahaprabhu Maha Prasad, which means it's Maha Maha Prasad. And naturally it's very sweet and satisfying. So again, this is his mercy. Again, this very action is not greed. It's not lust. He was not couldn't control his senses. I have to eat. Look, I can't feed you guys. I have to eat the first one. I can't wait. They look too good. My mouth is watering. My mind is jumping. Let me eat the Sunday feast first, and then I'll serve out the devotees. Let me get a big plate. I'll hide in a corner somewhere. I'll eat to my neck, and then I'll be smiling and jumping. Oh, take prasad. Then I'll go serve. This is not his mentality. He was thinking that, again, I want to satisfy the devotees. Because the mango will satisfy them. Definitely, fill the man up. But if they taste my Adhara Amrita, if these devotees, if my devotees, because they're my devotees, my Parishads, if they taste the nectar, Adhara Amrita, the nectar of my lips, they'll be satisfied, they'll be electrified, they'll be totally saturated with bliss. Right? Because the mango that Lord Chaitanya created with no skin and no seeds, that would completely satisfy a man's belly. But when they take the nectar of Mahaprabhu's lips in the form of the mango Mahaprasad, That completely satisfies the heart. Right? And the most important thing for a devotee to have satisfied is his heart, not his belly. We can live without food, but we can't live without spiritual satisfaction. Matchita matgata pranas, bodhiyantas parasparam, gata yantas jamam nityam, tushanticha, ramanticha. Satisfaction. So harikata. And so imagine the satisfaction we would gain by eating a mango like this, with these characteristics, directly from the mouth of Mahaprabhu. Instant prema, instant sattvic bhavs, instant ecstasy, guaranteed for one and all. 200 devotees, 200 mangoes, 200 satisfied devotees, 200 devotees with their sikhas standing on end, totally absorbed in sattvic ecstasies. Prabhu, have you ever tasted a mango like this? Never before. This is the most astounding and incredible mango. Jai, Mahaprabhu ki jai. Ashti vakala nahi amrita rasamai ek phal kaile rase udara purai. The fruits had no seeds or skins. They were full of nectarine juice. Amrita rasamai. That's an understatement. Because what is this Amrit Rasamai? It is Adara Amrit. Adara Rasamai. Maya means full of, saturated with ras. It says, Amrit Rasamai. Okay, rasa means liquid, rasa means taste, rasa means flavor. So they're full of taste. And what taste? Nectar taste. But what was that? What was the actual source of that nectar for the devotees? Adara Amrita Rasa Moy. Adhara. Adhara means lips. Adhara. Adhara. Amrit Rasa Moy. They were tasting the nectar of Mahaprabhu's lips through the medium of the mango. These mangoes, these Gauranga mangoes, were so full of nectarine juice and were so sweet that a man would be fully satisfied by eating one. This is a fact. If only once, one time in our life, only one time in our life, if we experience the Amrit Rasamoy, the Adara Amrit Rasamoy, then we will be satisfied forever. This is called ruchi. This is a symptom of bhajan ruchi. When one crosses nishtha and comes to ruchi, then he becomes satisfied. Because the rasa begins to form in the heart at the level of ruchi. Some rasa begins to come. Amrit rasamoy. Adara amrit rasamoy. Nam amrit rasamoy, right? Guna amrit rasamoy, lila amrit rasamoy. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's giving the adara amrit rasamoy of his lips to all his devotees, and they're just once. This is the experience. Emati pratidina phale bara mas. Vaishnav Kayena Fal Prabhura Ulas. In this way, the mango fruits on the tree, they grew on the tree every day of every month of the year. Harivo Akshay Fal Ananta Fal, unending fall. And literally, not just results, but Akshay Fal means unending benefit. Fal means benefit. But this case is literal. Unending fruits. Akshay Fal. Mango fruits. And what would the Vaishnavas do? They would eat them. Vaishnav Ka. Kayena. Fal. And how did the Lord feel when he saw the Vaishnavas eating these mangoes throughout the year? Prabhu Ulas. There's two different words being used by Kaviraj Goswami in describing this leela of the Lord's response. When he first created the mango tree, he felt santushta. He was very satisfied. I'm very satisfied. I made a nice arrangement to please the devotees. But now it says that the devotees are being satisfied and pleased every day of every month of every year. I mean, of the whole year. Every day they're eating the mangoes. Every day they're satisfied. And seeing that the devotees are satisfied, I'm satisfied. But I'm seeing that the devotees are being satisfied every day by my Gauranga mangoes. They're satisfied for every day of the whole year. And how do I respond to that? How do I feel? Santushta. Yes, satisfied, but something more. Ulas. Ulas. This is Prabhur Ulas. That he says, Ulas is a very special type of satisfaction where you're so satisfied that your heart is jumping out of your body. So when your heart is jumping out of bliss and joy, then you actually start physically jumping, kicking your heels, running down the street and saying, I'm in love, I'm in love. Of course you're crazy, but anyway. So this is ulas. For example, we all engage in sankirtan, Harinam sankirtan, and we're chanting in kirtan. And the kirtan's going on, and then it starts to rise to a crescendo, which means a high point. And they're just like this, okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then it goes Hari Vo, Hari Vo. And if it's a very pure-hearted devotee leading the kirtan, then your heart feels happy. And expressing the happiness of your heart, you start jumping. Hari Vo, Hari Vo. You're jumping. And this, when you start jumping in the kirtan due to exhilaration and intense thrill of the kirtan ras, and you start jumping. At that time when you start jumping, that's the expression of ulas. Sankirtan ulas. Ah, you know, usually it's okay, Hare Krishna, this, that. But then, jumping, ulas, ulas. So Lord Chaitanya, his heart was jumping with so much joy to see that the devotees are satisfied day after day after day. And this is the heart of a guru. The guru's satisfaction is in seeing that the disciples are satisfied. Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat Prasado Svadana Triptan Hari Bhakta Sangan Kritvaiva Triptim Bhajataksa Deva Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam Triptan. The guru becomes satisfied to see that the disciples are taking Bhagavat Prasad. Right? Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat Prasadu Savanana Savana Triptan Hari Bhakta Sangha. They're happy taking it, and he's very happy distributing it. And that goes on every day. Every day we take the Guru Prasad. Every day we serve Guru. Every day we take Guru Prasad. He's arranging for us. And we become satisfied. And the Guru becomes very satisfied. That is his pleasure. That is his ulas. When Prabhupada was in Mayapur, he was asking during the festival, how are the devotees eating? What are they eating? Bhavananda? What is the menu? Oh, Srila Prabhupada, that we're serving out bale juice, fresh bale juice with some nice sugar inside, very sweet. And we're serving out Kerala chips, fried Kerala pieces, small pieces of Kerala fried in mustard oil. And lots of salt, and devotees like them very much. And we're serving out spinach sabji, and we're serving very nice rice with some ghee, and we're serving chapatis, and then we have some shukta and some bitter melon and three or four sabjis, and then we serve sweet rice. And Prabhupada says, yes, yes, very good, very good. Let all the devotees enjoy nice prasad. Now, this was Prabhupada's love, that he was always inquiring, how are my disciples eating? And he was very insistent that my disciples, every day they should eat opulent, nice prasad. Devotees should be given nice prasad, not you're given some khichdi or something like this. This is the guru. So Mahaprabhu has this ulas, seeing everyone happy. Ehi sabha lilakari chachiranandan anya loka nahi jane bina bhaktagan. These are the confidential pastimes of Sachinandan. They are not known. Other than devotees, no one knows of this pastime. Purport. No one, non-devotees, do not believe this incident. Yet the place where that tree grew still exists in Mayapur is called Amra Ghat. Now it's simply Amgat. E Matabaramas Kirtan Avasane Amra Mahotsav Paprabhu Kari Dine Dine. In this way, the Lord performs Sankirtan for 1 year, Baramas. And at the end of every Sankirtan performance, everyone collected under the mango tree, had a big feast. The 200 devotees came there and they ate the 200 mangoes and they felt so dissatisfied with the Amrit Rasamoy. And their hearts were drenched with the Gaur Ras and Sankirtan Ras and the Prem Ras coming from Lord Chaitanya's heart. And this went on for 12 months. The Prophet says, as Lord Chaitanya distributed prasadam after the performance of the Sankirtan, similarly, the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement must also distribute prasadam after the performance of Nam Sankirtan. So that's chapter 17, Adi Lila, chapter 17, verse 88. It says must. Must is called an absolute, something or other, absolute verb. Absolute verb means that there's no argument. Must means you have to do it. It's an injunction. You do it or die. You have Harinam and the public comes there, then give them prasad. This is what's being said. So this concludes the story, this particular story, about the Lord Chaitanya's, the story of Nimai's magic mangoes.